can be a little tricky. Often, we'll find ourselves under a tornado warning or a tornado watch. But it's that word warning that I want us to focus on this morning. When you hear that on the TV, you hear tornado warning in place for Bedford County. Well, most of us, we would, glance out our window. We would check. And we would see the signs. Yes, there is inclement weather. The sky is dark. I can see a funnel cloud forming. And then what do we do next after we've seen that the warning is true? We do something about it. Most of us would find a place to take shelter. We would get our household in order. We would make sure that everything was taken care of and that we were safe. Now, this warning is of a physical nature. This morning, I want us to look at a warning of a spiritual nature. A warning that God has given us that there are false teachers among us. False teachers among us. Now, this morning, I have three goals for us. I want us to, one, be able to be familiar with and understand the warnings that are given to us. Secondly, I want us to be able to recognize and do our very best to see and know a false teacher when there is one in our presence. And finally, I want us to be able to guard ourselves and protect ourselves from false teachers. In Jude verse 4, it says, "For certain persons have crept in unnoticed, those who were long beforehand marked out for this condemnation, ungodly persons, who turn the grace of our God into licentiousness and deny our only Master, the Lord Jesus Christ." There's two things I want us to notice here from Jude verse 4. First of all, these people come unnoticed. False teachers come unnoticed. You say, wait a minute, how do you know that he's talking about a false teacher? Well, just at the latter part of the verse it says, who is that that he's talking about? The certain persons who turn the grace of our God into licentiousness. They turn the grace of God into something that it's not. And they deny our Master, the Lord Jesus Christ. They're spreading things that aren't true. To me, that sounds like a false teacher. Now, Jude isn't the only one to give us this warning. In 2 Peter in chapter 2, Peter gives us a very similar warning. 2 Peter in chapter 2, beginning in the first verse, it says, "But false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will also be false teachers among you who will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the Master who bought them, bringing swift judgment upon themselves. And many will follow their sensuality, and because of them, the way of the truth will be maligned." Now, as we've already noticed in Jude, Jude says they crept in unnoticed. Peter here says they secretly introduce destructive heresies. They secretly introduce things that are not true. But Peter goes on to say that many will follow them in verse 2. Many will follow. And even worse than that, he says the way of the truth will be maligned, will be distorted, will be changed into something that it is not by them. 1 Timothy also gives us a warning. Paul, writing to Timothy, warned him about apostasy and how apostasy would come. And he tells him that it will come from false teachers. Beginning in verse 1 of chapter 4 of 1 Timothy, it says, "But the Spirit explicitly says that in latter times some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons, by means of the hypocrisy of liars, seared in their own conscience, as with a branding iron. So we've already seen that they're secretive, they're unnoticed, and they malign the truth. But Paul, to Timothy, points out something that should get our attention up even more. Some will fall away from the faith. And he goes on to say that the same ones that will fall away from the faith will spread these things as well. But possibly the best and simplest and most plain warning given to us was given to us by Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7 and in verse 15, Jesus summed it up very simply, but also very severely. In Matthew 7 and in verse 15, it says, "Beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves." Now, wait a minute. That didn't say false teachers. It said false prophets. I'd like to propose that it is one and the same. The word in which false prophets originates also has the same meaning as religious imposters. A religious imposter. We all know what the word imposter means. It's someone who pretends to be something they're not. Put the word religious in front of it, it's just the same meaning. Someone who pretends to be something they're not. A teacher, a preacher, a mentor. Jesus said, inwardly they are ravenous wolves. Now this is only a sampling of the warnings that we're given throughout the scriptures of false teachers. This is only four out of many. Now we're going to move on and we're going to see how we can recognize false teachers. Remember in Jude and in 2 Peter, they're secretive. They're hard to find. They're hard to root out. We will not have a 100% success rate. And we must accept that. But we must do our best to be able to recognize them. First of all, back in 2 Peter in chapter 2, Peter mentions that they deny our master. In 2 Peter 2 and verse 1, it says, "They will introduce destructive heresies, even denying the master." There are those today who would try to discredit the deity of Christ. There are those today who would tell us that he did not die for us. There are even those that would go so far as to tell us that he never existed. These people are out in the world, but sadly, they're even among us, the church as a whole. They're out there. When you see someone who denies Jesus, will it get your attention? Now, this is an easy one. It should get all of our attention. Will you start paying attention to what that person says and watch for things that are contrary to the Word of God? In the very next verse, Peter gives us another clue. It says, "Those who follow, and many will follow their sensuality, and because of them, the way of the truth will be maligned." It will follow their sensuality. What does that mean? Well, have we ever seen someone out in public that it's obvious that they do just what they want to do? They answer to no one. They appeal to their own lusts. Nothing more, nothing less. They don't answer to a higher power. Peter warns us that those are those who follow false teachers, but they're also the false teachers themselves. When you see someone who acts of their own accord, who does strictly what they want to do, nothing more, nothing less, will it raise your attention? Will you start paying attention to what they have to say? Will you check it with the Word of God. Back in 1 Timothy, Paul says, those who are hypocritical and liars are false teachers as well. In verse 2, it says, by the means of the hypocrisy of liars, seared in their own conscience, as with a branding iron. Have you ever known of someone to be hypocritical, say one thing, then do another? Have you ever known of someone to lie to you about matters of truth and say things that are not true? When you do see these people, will it get your attention? Will it make you put your guard up? And just the next verse, Paul warns us of the biggest issue that we see today. Those who bind where God has not bound. Today, the problem would be more vice versa, that those who loose where God has not loosed. But the problem is still the same. In 1 Timothy 4 and verse 3, it says, men who forbid marriage and advocate abstaining from foods which God has created to be gratefully shared in by those who believe and know the truth. Paul tells Timothy that there are those out there that are forbidding things that God allowed and that God saw was good. That does happen today, but today the problem has flip-flopped. There are those that would tell us that we can do things which God has forbidden. When we see that happening, does it raise our attention? Do we start paying attention to what that person has to say in order to compare it with the truth and the Word of God? In Matthew chapter 7, as we've already seen, Jesus said that they would come in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. It's the idea that they put on a character that they know they are not. A sheep is always depicted as innocent, as pure. To put on sheep's clothing indicates putting on a mask, so to speak. Pretending to be something you're not. Pretending to be pure. Have you ever seen someone who you knew was pretending? Who is only acting morally good and just to gain trust? That's hard to recognize. But we've been told that these people exist and that they are like this. That tells me that if we do our best, we can truly see false teachers. But even more than that, those who have the qualities of the devil. In John 8 and verse 44, Jesus tells the Pharisees that they are of their father, the devil. And in the verse previous to that, he says, if you were the sons of God, then you would love me. Remember in our very first point, false teachers would deny Jesus. Those who are of their father, the devil, do not obey, do not respect, do not love Jesus as they should. That tells me is those that are of the devil share characteristics and qualities with him. In Genesis chapter 3, we see some of the devil's qualities. In Genesis 3 and in verse 1, it says, now the serpent. Who is the serpent? The serpent is Satan. Now the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. The New American Standard, as I'm reading today, says crafty. The New King James uses the word cunning. The American Standard Version uses the word subtle. crafty, cunning, subtle. The image I get in my mind is someone who is mischievous, who is up to no good. Have you ever seen someone who you know is up to no good? Who you can look at them and tell that they have no good purpose in their heart? Would you be able to recognize them? Again, these are just the sampling, or just a sampling, of the ways that we can see false teachers. Using these, would we be able to? They're given to us for a reason. That reason must be that we can see them, we can find them, we can root them out. Now let's spend the rest of our time looking at how we can guard against false teachers. Just as with the weather, we're given the warning and we can see the signs and the characteristics of inclement weather. We've been given the warning and we can see the signs and the characteristics of false teachers. Now will we guard against them as we guard our lives against the weather? In 1 Peter 3 and verse 12, we are told that God hears the prayers of the righteous. His ears attend to their cry, as quoting from the psalmist. What that tells me is that the Lord will answer us. He will hear us. When we have a problem, His ears are open to us. When we need His help, His ears are open to us. And I'm reassured of that even more. If you'll remember back to Matthew chapter 6, when Jesus gave the disciples the model prayer, Jesus said, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." A false teacher definitely tempts. And a false teacher definitely is evil. Jude called them ungodly men. We can pray. We can pray to God and ask Him to help us. Jesus told us that we should, and we're told that we should pray. But also, we can guard ourselves by knowing Satan's tactics. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and in verse 11, Paul tells us that we can know the tactics of the devil. 2 Corinthians 2 and in verse 11 it says, "In order that no advantage be taken of us by Satan, for we are not ignorant of his schemes." How do we not be taken advantage of by Satan? By knowing his schemes, knowing his plans, knowing how he operates. And then you raise the question, well, how do we do that? In 1 Peter chapter 5, we're given the answer. We're given how the devil operates. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and in verse 8, it says, "Be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls about like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour." Do you know how a lion operates? Well, the devil operates the same way. A lion, when it is out in the wild, patiently waits for an animal to let its guard down, to get caught off guard. It waits for that animal to not be suspecting the lion's attack. But then when the lion does attack, what does it do? It goes for the weakest part of that animal. The devil is a roaring lion, and he is seeking whom he may devour. So what that tells me is that we need to get our guard up. We need to arm ourselves in our weak spots. We need to constantly be aware of our surroundings. We need to constantly be aware of the teachers among us and what they are teaching. And how do we do that? Well, we can learn from the Bereans. In Acts chapter 17 and in verse 11, The Bereans had a study habit, which we should model ourselves after, in order to protect against those who distort the Scriptures. In Acts 17 and in verse 11, it said, "Now these were more noble-minded men than those in Thessalonica, for they received the word with great eagerness, examining the Scriptures daily to see whether these things are so." What were they doing? They were examining the Scriptures. It doesn't say they were reading the Scriptures. They were examining the Scriptures. It's the idea of looking so closely as to not miss a single point. Could you say that about your study efforts? Could I say that about my study efforts? They are examining the Scriptures. How often do they do it? When? Daily. Can we say that about our study habits? Examining the Scriptures daily. But even more so, what is their purpose? Why do they do what they do? To see whether these things were so. Can you say that? Can you say that you sit down and you study your Bible? You examine your Bible daily to see whether the things that you have been taught are true to the book, are true to the Word of God? This is how we guard against false teachers. This is how we prepare ourselves, through prayer, through knowing the devil's tactics, and through studying. Can we say that about ourselves? I know our lesson has been brief this morning, but I hope our objectives have been accomplished. I hope that we now have an understanding of the warnings that we've been given. I hope we now have an understanding of how we recognize false teachers. And I hope now we are well equipped and motivated to guard against them through prayer, through knowledge of Satan's tactics, and through studying the Scripture. Are you prepared? This morning, I challenge you, I encourage you, I urge you to get prepared. Jude 4, 2 Peter 2, Matthew 7, they all tell us to be on guard for false teachers. They are among us, as 1 Timothy 4 tells us, and 2 Peter 2, they are among us. Are you ready? Could you see one if they were here today? Would you be able to tell? And even more so, would you be able to guard yourself against the message that they would have you learn and absorb? Again, I ask you, are you ready? If there are those here this morning who have need of the gospel, who have need of putting on Christ through baptism to be saved for the remission of their sins, Acts 2 and in verse 38, now is your chance. You may not have another. If there are those here this morning who have put on Christ but have forgotten Him, heeded false teachers, or just simply left the service and wish to return to Him, now is your chance. Again, I say, you may not have another. If there are any this morning who are subject to the call of the gospel,